For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Bradley Fuller. Pianist Peja Muzyevich is once again an important player in this year's Spoleto Festival USA, returning to the chamber music series where he performs at both the harpsichord and the piano for works covering a range of styles and eras. And this year, the pianist equally at home with the sonatas of Joseph Haydn and John Cage is tackling Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart's Piano Concerto No. 15 in B-flat major. He's with me now to share a little bit about his time at the keyboard and this year's festival. Peja, great to have you again.
Thank you. Great to be here.
You're doubly involved at this year's festival, performing in the chamber music series as usual, wide range of pieces there, and also taking on Mozart's Piano Concerto No. 15 in B-flat major. Is it hard to focus on the chamber repertoire with this work looming for Saturday evening at the Gilliard?
No, not really. Actually, it's all within sort of the similar language I've been playing. I started this year's chamber music part playing an earlier Mozart concerto in a version with string quartet and bass. So it's kind of bookmarked for me to then finish with a larger piano concerto with the full orchestra. And, you know, even works like Schubert Piano Trio have extended parts that are like a piano concerto. So it's all just like in a piano concerto. Sometimes you're set on the front stage and sometimes you're an accompanying wind player playing a tune in the second movement. So no, not really, but it's a different space. It's at the Gilliard where I've played only twice. So that will be different. And I will probably play our old Hamburg Steinway that we used at Dock Street Theater for many years. So that's kind of an old friend, which is fun. But it is great fun. What I'm looking forward to is playing with young musicians from the Spoleto Festival Orchestra who sound wonderful. And I always find that they all love being here. It's always fun to play with an orchestra that's actually happy to be where they are. So that I'm looking forward to that.
How does this piano concerto stack up to some of Mozart's other piano concerti? You mentioned you played an earlier work before that. Is it different in character, difficulty? Where does it fit in this whole lineup of his piano works?
Yeah, so I'm a huge fan of Mozart piano concertos. If you ask me now just to play one kind of concertos for the rest of my life, I would say Mozart without blinking an eye, partially because there are 27 of them.
And a lot of options.
At least 25 are real masterpieces. And so this, but I have never played this one in public. It's going to be my first time on Saturday. And when they asked me to suggest one, they wanted a shorter one under 30 minutes, so which gave a lot of options. There are only a few that are longer than 30. But I have liked this one for a long time, but had never played it. So I thought it's a perfect opportunity to learn a new one. It's very lively. It's vibrant, full of kind of characters and gestures. But when I started learning it, I realized that it was also very difficult. One doesn't think of Mozart concertos as some sort of, you know, virtuosic difficulty. They're, you know, they have other demands. But this one is really very tricky, which has been kind of fun. But I do love its very clear characterization, just inspired writing. It's hard to match Mozart's inspiration. It's just kind of incredible, just seeping through every pore, melodies, funny little twists and turns, just what, you know, some B composer would repeat the same thing in a different key or a twist. He just throws in another theme, you know. It's like in the concerto I played with St. Lawrence Quartet and Doug Balliot earlier, which is K414. In the last movement, they start with this beautiful and just fun, vivacious rondo theme. And then 16 bars later, I come in with something entirely different that they never play. He was just like, oh, okay, let's do something else. So that's kind of remarkable.
Do you ever feel exposed when playing Mozart? I've heard it said that Mozart's easy to play, but very difficult to play well. Would you agree with that, or does this kind of roll off your hands?
Well, it is very exposed because it's so transparent. There's no sort of big gestures and big long pedals and a lot of noise to cover up things. But it's a world I'm probably most comfortable in. And I'm also very comfortable with my imperfections. So it's a world I really love. I love the world of gestures and what Mozart does. So yeah, I know what you mean. And it is very true. You feel very naked. People say that it's easy to play Mozart under the age of 16 and over the age of 75, which is a version of what you said.
Right.
So yeah, there's definitely that. But, you know, it is what it is.
Have you always had this love for Mozart?
Not always, but for a long while now, I would say for 15 years or so. It's interesting how we sort of change as we go on our little life journey. It is a world that I feel at home, both listening to the operas, which to me with Mozart are the sort of the centerpiece of everything. Everything is opera. Mozart concertos are an opera, and they're the kind of source material for everything that happens. So, yeah.
How about cadenzas in this work? Are there any, and if so, whose are they?
Okay, so just to set it up, because you know exactly what you're asking. Mozart was first and foremost a performer, and at that time, composers and performers were sort of interchangeable. And he wrote concertos for his own use, for the academies that he would put on and charge subscriptions. And then he would perform, and then later on he would publish the works to get some other income from the same piece. There are a variety of concertos. There's those in which he writes everything out and those in which he's very stingy with information. And some have no cadenzas, which is these moments where the orchestra comes to a stop and soloist sort of shows off. This particular one has all the cadenzas, and so does one that I played earlier, K414. And the 414 is actually interesting. It's a fairly small work. It has, I think, each movement has two different versions of two options, which is kind of, you know, embarrassment of riches. But what I do in the last movement of K450, which I will play with the orchestra, I do ornament the theme as it comes back. I sort of play with it and add a little ornaments to it just for fun.
Will you have that exactly planned out, or will you take the risk of letting a little bit of that night's inspiration come into play?
What's the saying about life being something, you know, carefully planned from improvisation or something like that?
Yeah.
It's sort of that. I mean, I have sort of options. I have sort of different things I can draw from, but it's not always the same now.
Okay, so when you're not occupied at the keyboard for this upcoming performance, are you going to be cooking up a big meal for the other chamber musicians as you have in the past?
Uh-huh, the word is out. I'm actually on my way to shop now. So yes, it has been sort of a semi-tradition that, we are a group of very close friends. So we do hang out a lot, and Charleston is an amazing foodie town, so we end up going out for dinners a lot. But it has been tradition for some years now that I cook something, sometimes just for musicians, sometimes for musicians plus, and one year it went out of control. It was 45 people.
Wow.
I will never do that again. It's great fun. You know, we are on this insane boot camp schedule. We play two concerts every day at 11 a.m. and 1 p.m., which means that our dress rehearsals often start at 8:30, but which also means that we're done with the performing part at 2:15. And we do rehearse in the afternoon, but it's interesting. It's a different kind of energy in rehearsing, obviously, and performing. You know, when you perform in the evening, you kind of save yourself most of the day. So the day, you don't do as much. Whereas when you're done performing about midday, then even though you were rehearsing, you can still go out shopping and doing whatever you need to do. So it's a different kind of distribution, even though technically it's the same number of hours. So yeah, there is a dinner on the way. I've already managed to cook two different things, but not for so many people.
Anything special on the menu this time?
Well, it's all about, time management, pot management, what I have in the kitchen. So I think I'm going to marinate some pork tenderloins because that can feed a lot of people. In lemon, rosemary, garlic, mustard, olive oil, roast that, and roast some cauliflower and some other veggies in the salad, some cheese. And there may or may not be some wine. For health reasons, of course.
Well, Peja, all best as you plan this meal and put the final few touches on this Mozart concerto.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here and pleasure to be on South Carolina Public Radio.
That was Peja Muzievich, a New York City-based pianist whose involvement in this year's Spoleto Festival includes a number of concerts on the chamber music series, as well as a performance of Mozart's piano concerto in B-flat major K450. He's playing that work alongside the Spoleto Festival USA Orchestra under Stephen Sloan on June 9th at 8 p.m. at the Gilliard Center. For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Bradley Fuller.